Last week, as we considered Matthew chapter 10, we looked at the first 15 verses, and we saw that Jesus sent out his 12 apostles. We looked at the fact that we are a sent out people. Christians are a people who are sent out. If you missed that last week, we saw, you might say, well, that was the 12 apostles. I'm not a missionary. I'm not sent out. But what Jesus started in Matthew 10 by sending out the 12 apostles. Later, in Luke, we learn that he sends out 72 of his disciples. And then at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he sends out the whole church with the Great Commission to go into all nations. And so what I want to point out to us, what I'd like to say to us, is that every Christian is a missionary. Every Christian is a missionary. We are sent out into this world. Last week I asked you a question. I put a question before us that I think is worthy of our consideration still. What would it look like if you moved to Conway, Arkansas, and you were sent here by God as a missionary to Conway? To this area, to Central Arkansas. How would you live? How would it look different than you live right now? How more intentional would you be with the gospel of Christ? That is how we are called to live. We are missionaries to our city. Well, okay, that's last week. What are we going to see today? We're going to see today that not only are we a sent out people, but we are a persecuted people. A persecuted people. As Jesus has given his instructions to the 12 that he's about to send out on a little short-term mission trip through the towns and villages of Israel, he's given them instructions as they go. Now today, his instructions are going to look beyond that little short-term mission trip that the 12 are going on. We know that he's thinking ahead beyond their little short-term mission because he's going to say, you will be dragged before Gentile kings. Well, that's not going to happen when the 12 are just ministering in the little villages of Israel. Jesus is looking ahead to us. Okay? We see it fulfilled in the book of Acts when Paul is dragged before kings. Has to give a testimony. But the people of Christ, followers of Jesus, we are a missionary people and we are a persecuted people. So today let's talk about persecution. Fun topic. But when we preach verse by verse through the Bible, no, we don't get to pick and choose our favorite topics. That's good for you and that's good for me. Preachers don't get to hide from uncomfortable subjects when we preach verse by verse through the Bible. Amen? And so we don't just get to pick our favorite topics because we have an axe to grind. And I'm not going to be talking about the same thing every week. So today we talk about persecution. And let's see what Jesus says here. Remember before he sent the apostles out, he said, I want you to pray for workers to be sent out. Pray because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for workers to be sent out. So they began to pray, we believe, and their hearts began to be changed. This is what happens when we pray for the mission. I call our church to pray that God would send us out into our city and to the surrounding areas with the gospel. Begin to pray for your neighbors, your co-workers, the people who live around this building where we meet. Pray for God to move. Pray for God to send people out. And we believe after we begin to pray, God will send us out as he did with the 12. So let's read our entire text and we'll make some comments and explain it. And I believe maybe speak some right now words that Jesus wants us to consider today. So Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 33. Jesus is talking and he says this. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It's a comforting thought, isn't it? I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts. They will deliver you over to courts. Our persecution will be before judges and in the legal system. And they'll flog you in their synagogues. Religious extremists will beat you. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, for Jesus' sake. to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they, not if they deliver you over, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Real quick, before we continue to read, apparently some Christians or even preachers have used this verse and twisted it to mean, well, we shouldn't study the Bible. Right before I get up to preach, the Holy Spirit will give me a word and I'm just going to trust in me. You know, they use that as a word to say don't study. That's taking this out of context. I hope everyone can see. Jesus is talking about specifically when we are dragged before governors and kings and courts, then in that moment we will be given what to speak. Amen? You got to read God's Word and keep it in context. All right. By the way, I actually knew my dad was speaking to a preacher, and he didn't use this as his support, but he said, you know, if I'm driving to church, God will just give me a little thought to bring before the people. Man, no, God's Word, man. We got to preach the truth. All right, enough about that. Jesus is talking about being dragged before judges and rulers, and the Holy Spirit will give us a word that will glorify Jesus. Continue, verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. Can you imagine sending your child to death because of Jesus, because you disagree with his Christianity? And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And here's your K-Love power, positive encouraging power verse of the day, verse 22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Church, look at that verse again in your own Bible, if you have one with you. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. A lot of Christians forget this verse. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus is talking here, guys. You feel the power of what he said? You will be hated by everyone for Christ's name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, the servant like his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebul, which is a word for the prince of demons, or Satan himself, if they call the one we follow Satan, if they call Jesus a dirty name, what makes you think people are going to love you, is what Jesus is saying. Do you really expect to be treated better than Jesus if you follow him? If they call the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them. Church at Meadowlake, have no fear of them. Of them who? Of the ones who hate us and persecute us. Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed. They're going to get justice. Nothing is hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. We are people sent out as missionaries with a message to preach. Don't let persecution shut you up. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Help me out here this morning. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill your soul. Rather, fear him, fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? The sparrow, according to commentators, was the cheapest form of food. You get two for a penny. Two sparrows for a little insignificant sparrow. And he says, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. God is in control of the most insignificant. good things in our lives and in this world. Not a bird dies without God being in control of it, guys. That's encouraging. Fear not, therefore. Oh, he says, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, Jesus says, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Powerful words, are they not, that we've seen in this passage? Powerful words, unsettling words, some of them. We need to deal with the uncomfortable topic of persecution. If we are living for Jesus, at some point we will face persecution. Our country has given special freedoms to Christians for much of our existence so that we have not faced persecution on the level of many nations of the world. Some of that is beginning to change. And we may find ourselves facing physical persecution at some point. Don't think that the sky is falling. This is not a time for Christians to freak out. When we see recent political goings on, this is not a time for Christians to go crazy. This is what Jesus said would happen. Amen. There are brothers and sisters who follow Jesus in many nations of the world who have been facing worse than we're beginning to face for a long time, guys. Amen. Beginning with the book of Acts, they killed the apostle James with the sword. They stoned Stephen to death. You get what I'm saying? We still got it pretty good. No matter what happens in America, the church must not lose our head. We must listen to Jesus and the words He has told us in this chapter that we've just landed on today. By God's providence, as we preach verse by verse through Matthew, today we have landed on these words. God wanted you here to hear this today. 2 points. I want to give 2 points as we talk about this. I believe all the verses we just read can be divided into 2 things. Number one, expect persecution. Number two, how to endure persecution. Let's hang our thoughts on those 2 things together. Number one, expect persecution. Can I just keep your Bible open if you got it as we wade through. That was kind of a long passage we just read. As you wade through that, I want to make some comments. First, I want us to know that it is Jesus who sends us out into dangerous situations. That is comforting because it is not a surprise to God. It is not a surprise to Jesus that we're going to face danger. Jesus has not called us to a comfortable, easy life in this world. I need to spend a little time here because most of the Christians in the West, that is America, some in Europe, right, Canada, who are not being dragged and being beheaded for Christianity, we are somehow crazy and we think that people should all love us and give us preferential treatment when they find out we're a Christian. Jesus said, expect them to kill you. Can I just make another comment about America and what's going on right now? I promise I'm not a politician and I'm not a preacher who drags politics into it, but there's some relevance in our culture now. Let me just say that we feel it's strange for rights and freedoms and persecution to begin to break out against us because it's not been what we've been used to. It's not been our experience up till now. But it's not normal for a nation to give religious freedom to Christians, to special rights to Christians. It's an anomaly. What we've been experiencing is weird. For the church to not be hated and persecuted. And so when persecution begins to come, don't lose your head over it. Don't say, what in the world's happening? It's time to rise up with arms and fight against the government. No. Jesus sent us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Expect what is happening and what is going to be coming. Amen? Do you see that Jesus was not caught off guard here? He told us the hard truth of what to expect. Aren't you glad that He did? He said this word in Matthew chapter 10 to prepare us for it. Now is not a time to go crazy. Now is a time to know that it is Jesus' will for us to be hated and persecuted. I don't think a lot of Christians realize this. Some Christians don't know that when you come to follow Him, your life is probably going to fall apart. Here in America, in the West, when it's been kind of easy to follow Jesus, our testimonies sound a lot different from testimonies of Christians in persecuted nations. Our testimony may go something like this. I was sad. I was depressed. I had nothing. Then I met Jesus. I got joy in my heart. I got a better job. You know, my marriage started going better. You know, I'm blessed. I expect to get the best parking spot when I go shopping because the favor of God is on me. That's according to Joel Osteen in his first book, Your Best Life Now. This is what we have swallowed. This is our expectation. But a Christian from India or Pakistan, perhaps, might have a different testimony altogether. Or maybe a Christian in the nation of Bhutan. Little nation by Nepal, little between India and Bangladesh in that area, land of the thunder dragon. It's a fundamentalist Buddhist Hindu in there too. I heard a report from Voice of the Martyrs a few years ago that as soon as you publicly say you're a Christian, when you get baptized and make a public declaration of Jesus, you immediately lose your job. And that's a big deal because most people who have a job in Bhutan not only support themselves and their wife and kids, but they support their parents and the wife's parents and some aunts and uncles, and they all live together. And so to be publicly baptized and identify with Jesus is to cut off your entire family's survival. Imagine a testimony from a nation such as that. I had it all! A good job! Family, then I met Jesus, and I lost it all. That is a normal testimony of most of the world. It is we who are crazy, who are different, we get messed up over the littlest thing. Jesus wanted us to expect persecution. Probably, I hope none of you listen to the prosperity preachers on TV. Most of that stuff is just, it's baloney. It's mess. Be careful who you listen to on TV. If everybody in the world is liking it, it's probably not good, right? He's sending us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. If the world loves our message, chances are we've got it wrong. Wrong message. I won't name any more names. There's books out there, 7 Principles to Get the Life You Want. Everyday Friday, how to live like, their whole message projects Christianity as when you come to Jesus, your wildest dreams are going to come true, right? You should expect the boss, right, to give you a promotion because you have God's favor on you. Jesus said, well, that may happen, by the way. God's will may be for you to succeed in your job. God does bless us, but here's the difference, guys. Listen to me. God does love His children and bless His children, but not according to the worldly definitions of success. Not according to the worldly definitions of what blessing looks like. Do you know it may be God's will for you to lose your job? The blessing for you may come by going through a hard time. Because God is going to use that hard time to make you more like Jesus. The blessing may be a demotion for you and not a promotion. But that's not what you hear on TV, is it? If you sow your seed of money into my ministry, you can expect that promotion to come through. And you need to speak it out. And, ridiculous. Pretend like passages that we just read don't even exist. Why am I hitting this pretty hard? Why am I spending some time here this morning? You may not listen to those preachers or read those books, but our culture has eaten that message up, and it subtly creeps into our life so that when something bad happens in our life, we're surprised. But I follow Jesus. Why did He let this happen to me. Give your life to Jesus. You know what Jesus calls following him? He calls it taking up your cross and dying. He says if you love your life in this world, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life in this world, you find it. They killed the one we followed. What do we think they're going to do to us? We got it all backwards, don't we? Expect persecution. Now, if we won't stand up for Jesus, yeah, maybe the world will love us. But when we are faithful to speak His truth in love, they're going to hate us. Amen? And am I telling you what Jesus said here in Matthew 10? That's what He said. God does love us, and He blesses us, but the blessing may not look like what the world would expect. After all, did God love His Son, Jesus? That's a silly question, isn't it? The Scripture's clear. God loved His Son, Jesus. Well, what did God do with His Son? He sent Him out into this dark world to be hated, cursed, spit upon, beaten, and killed. That's what they did to the one we follow. And He says, come, follow me. Jesus said, I'm sending you out. As the Father sent me into this dark world, I'm sending you out to the dark world. Should it surprise us when we are persecuted? Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:12, some of the churches were experiencing persecution. You know what the Apostle Peter wrote to them and said? He said, if you guys just will, speak out into reality, your faith, all that persecution will go away. No, he didn't say that. He said, don't think that this fiery trial that's come on you to test you, don't act like it's something strange. Don't be surprised. Fiery trial that has come to test your faith. Don't be surprised. Peter would say that to us again today. Next, Jesus said in verses 17 and 18, beware of men. They'll drag you before the law. Interesting. Jesus predicted that we will be persecuted in the court system. Begin to see some of that in our day, perhaps, as the courts are coming down on Christianity. Jesus said, this will happen for my sake to bear witness before the Gentiles, to bear witness for them. So in other words, when we're persecuted by the government, by religious fundamentalist extremists, God wants to use that as an opportunity for the gospel to go out. Bear witness. In other words, don't be afraid and give up and zip your mouth when persecution comes. That's when it's time to stand up and speak the truth. Jesus said this persecution will come from some unexpected places. In verse 21, He said, your family members may deliver you over to death. We have not experienced that in America, but many of the church around the world have experienced this. Much of the church has experienced this. We read of Muslim nations where someone in the family converts to Christianity and they are poisoned by their wife or ostracized by the dad, the patriarch of the family, kicked out and treated as if they were dead. I read somewhere this week that an Islamic father whose son converted to Christianity, the family kicked him out of the house and actually held a funeral to say that you're dead to me now. We have read of others who actually killed the family member. This is what Jesus said here. It seems wild to us. It is the reality of many Christians in the world today, and it could come to where we are. In other words, when we say the name of Jesus, Christians love that name, but the world hates the name of Jesus. At least the biblical Jesus who won't put up with sin. Right? When the world has an idea of Jesus that they like, You know, Jesus who's welcoming the children on his knee. The world's okay with that Jesus. But what about the Jesus who's making a whip and going into the temple and running them out? What about the Jesus who is saying some pretty strong things? Right? The world doesn't want that Jesus because he tells us that we're sinners, that we need a Savior. The gospel is offensive to sinners. And so our families may turn on us. And then he actually says in verse 22, you will be hated by all. That doesn't mean every living soul will hate us, because the other Christians are not going to hate us all the time, right? If everyone in the world hated us, then there would be no converts. That's not what he means. He means all kinds of people. All kinds of people will hate us. We will be a hated people. Your life may fall apart when you give your life to Jesus. Guys, we don't come to Jesus to get stuff. It's not like the genie in the lamp, right? He doesn't come to give us a comfortable life. We come to Jesus to flee from our sins and to flee from the wrath of God that is against our sins. Amen? We come to Jesus to turn from sin and to embrace the one who is himself the all-satisfying treasure. If you're coming to Jesus to use Jesus to get stuff, then you're not worshiping Jesus, you're worshiping the stuff you want to get. Does that make sense? Again, the message on many preachers that we see on TV is come to Jesus and you can be rich. Well, who is that worshiping? Jesus or riches? Amen. And so Jesus himself is the goal. God himself is the destination. We come to God because he is the glorious one who satisfies our soul. Guys, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God came and brought a curse upon them, and he brought a curse upon the serpent. And it says in Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. What does enmity mean? Hostility. Animosity. In other words, the descendant of Eve, who is the church, ultimately Jesus is that seed of the woman who's going to crush the devil, right? The seed of the woman who holds fast to God will face persecution from the seed of the serpent, that is, those who follow the devil. So as early as the third chapter of Genesis, there is darkness and light battling it out. That is our experience. We live in a daydream sometimes. We expect a comfortable life when there is a war going on in the spirit realm. Wake up! Amen? Wake up! They're going to hate us. In fact, what does Jesus, or what is said in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, the Bible says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. Do you see that? Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light lest his works should be exposed. If we are children of the light, this darkened world is going to hate us. That's what Christ is saying. And then finally, in verses 24 to 25, he says, the servant is not greater than the master. And what he's saying to us there, why would we expect to be treated better than Jesus was treated? If we are his servant, if we are his children, if we are his followers, we can expect to be treated the same way they treated our master. Now listen, if we bought into some easy, comfortable Christianity where we're too afraid to speak the name of Jesus on the workplace, too afraid to speak the gospel in our neighborhoods, then no, they're not going to come against that Christian, if you can call that a Christian. Right? But when we are the people of Christ who speak what Christ spoke and who do the deeds that Jesus did, they're going to treat us like they treated him. They hung him on a cross. Now, I've hit this pretty hard because I believe Jesus hit it pretty hard. He was preparing his disciples before he sent them out. Amen? He's not giving us a false, you know, fairy tale world to go live in, where, you know, you're just skipping through life expecting no trouble. He told us persecution will come. But in the same passage, I'd like us to turn now to point out a few things Jesus just said of how we should respond to persecution. That is so important because sometimes Christians don't respond well to persecution. Sometimes we don't respond the way Jesus taught us to respond. In the last few weeks, as we've noticed political things happening, I've seen on social media, I've seen Christians saying some hateful things. I've seen Christians with a tone that is unChrist-like. Guys, when persecution starts, I mean, okay, maybe it's because this is new to us. We've been blessed with a weird experience where we haven't been persecuted for a while. So maybe it was new to us and we blew it. When persecution begins to happen to the church, it is not time to rise up and fight against the government, against the opposite political party than the one you are a member of. It is not a time to fight against people. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, guys. We are to love sinners and give them the gospel. Now, we are to speak truth without compromising. That whole truth and love thing is hard to balance, isn't it? It is not time to become freedom fighters and to mount up and, you know, demand our freedoms. Rather, Jesus sent us out to take a cussing with a smile on our face and to lay down our lives if necessary, preaching His love to the ones killing us. Can you take that this morning? Can we receive that? Sometimes we're more American than we are Christian. Sometimes we have the politics of this world and we let them trump the politics of the kingdom of God. Guys, we are loyal first and foremost to Jesus Christ. Now listen, we're also citizens of America. So we can vote and we can talk about politics and we can pray for our country and we can use rights of our citizenship when it's appropriate. Amen? Paul used his rights as a Roman citizen in the book of Acts a couple times when it was appropriate, when it was useful in his ministry. But do you recall one time in the letters of the New Testament where anyone was complaining about their government? Where anyone was talking about mounting up to overthrow the oppressive Roman regime? I mean, they had Nero, guys. We've got it a lot easier than that. They were, the heads of Christians were on stakes lining the road, all right, as a little welcome to the city. They had it rough. I never read a word, not one of them, where the church is complaining because they knew to expect that. Rather, when things are good, rejoice and serve God. And when things are bad, rejoice and serve God. Because we're not living for this world. Our home is not here. Amen? We are pilgrims, strangers, and aliens in this world. This world is not my home. The old song says, I'm just a passing through. Right? You get what I'm trying to say this morning. When it's appropriate, you know, use your politics. But don't let that trump the teachings of Jesus. Amen? Do not go out there on social media or talking at the office with your coworker. Don't get out there and be a jerk. Don't get out there and be mean-spirited and unloving because they know you're a Christian. Amen? Don't get out there and earn your persecution. Persecution should be unearned. I think some of the Christians in America, sometimes we're hated by the world, not because of our gospel, but because of the way we act. Sometimes we deserve to be persecuted. Peter has a word to say about that as well. Can I read you this in 1 Peter chapter 3? Listen to me. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, He says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason, for the hope that's in you. In other words, always be ready to speak out for Jesus. But look what he says. We've got that part down sometimes. We're like, man, I'm ready to speak the truth. We get all fired up. He says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience. So that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Guys, what Peter's saying is, don't go out there and act like a fool. Don't go out there and earn your persecution. Rather, live like Jesus and speak truth with gentleness and respect to unbelievers so they ain't got nothing bad they can say about us. Amen? Oh, church, we need this word right now, don't we? Speak the truth, but do it with love. Do it with gentleness and respect. Be willing to be slapped, as we read in the Sermon on the Mount. Be willing to be cussed. Be willing to be hated if they're doing it for the gospel that we preach. Lay down your life for Jesus. Serve Him. Let that be a witness to this culture. Love them and give yourself continually. Amen? May God give us strength and grace and wisdom to figure out how that works in this day. All right, let's look at a few things Jesus said. He painted a pretty rough picture for the disciples. They're going to kill you. They're going to beat you. They're going to slander you. And after that, they're not going to treat you good, right? It's going to just get worse. Your brother, your dad, your kids may drag you off to be killed. And everyone's going to hate you. Welcome to Christianity. Wow. If that sounds scary, Jesus gives us some helpful things in the same passage of how to respond. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Wise as a serpent means to be shrewd, to use wisdom. Don't just float through this life without a thought. Living for Jesus takes careful consideration. Use wisdom out there, but not to the point of being mean and crafty and tricking people. He balances being shrewd with being innocent. That is a beautiful balance. Wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove. Using wisdom when you talk with people. Showing them truth, yet doing it with gentleness. In other words, what I just said, don't earn your persecution. Grant Osborne, I got to give him credit for those words. Don't earn the persecution. Be wise, yet be innocent. Craig Blomberg says, if possible, Christians must try to get along with and gain the respect of unbelievers in their communities. And he quotes Peter that we just read. Give a reason for the hope that's in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. In fact, did you know that one of the qualifications for being a pastor, an elder, is that he must have a good reputation with unbelievers? Well, if everyone's going to hate us, how's a pastor going to be well thought of by unbelievers, right? In other words, as much as it depends on us, we should seek to be respected in the way we treat unbelievers. Yet, when we preach the truth, we should expect them to hate the gospel that we preach. If it doesn't convert them, it'll make them want to kill us. Right? We don't get to decide the results. Sometimes, like Peter on the day of Pentecost, you preach the gospel and God cuts them to the heart and 3,000 people are saved. What happened when Stephen preached, though? Did God cut those people to the heart, let them get converted? No, they picked up rocks and stoned them to death. Same gospel. Two entirely different results. You don't ever know if you're going to convert your neighbor or make him bitter against you so he wants to kill you. But that's not up to you and me. Our job is to love them and share the truth with them. Amen? Results are up to God. Good news, guys. You don't have to save anybody. You just have to love them and preach the gospel to them. Amen? And let God do His work. God has a people in this city. God has people He's working on their hearts. Amen? He chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. We don't know who they are. We just preach to everybody. We just love everybody. And when God moves on their heart, amen. And if they want to slap us and cuss us, You know what? Amen. God's going to use that to make us stronger. Amen. Can you receive this word today, church? Be wise and yet be innocent. Then he says to speak. He says, when they drag you before the governor, don't have to prepare for the word you're going to give. The Holy Spirit will give you a message to speak. The Holy Spirit wants to use persecution as an opportunity for the gospel to go out. Amen? When your neighbor hates you and speaks ill of you, when someone on Facebook rants against you because they know you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit wants to use that as an opportunity to glorify Jesus. Therefore, keep your conduct innocent. Don't give people with your little rants, and you know, we can just, someone's wrong on the internet. I can't go to sleep until I correct everyone in the world. You know, sometimes we get that in us, don't we? No. Speak with innocence. Speak with purity. Speak with wisdom. Amen? We need prayer to do this, but we must speak. We are sent out with a message. We are sent out with a gospel. Jesus is telling us here, when persecution comes, don't shut up. Don't zip your lips. Don't stop proclaiming the gospel. It's not a time to mount up arms and fight. It's a time to preach the gospel with love. I counted up in this passage, verses 7 through 32, the word, or similar words for the word speak, are used 12 times. Clearly, the point of this passage is persecution and speaking. Persecution and speaking in the midst of that persecution. I could read you some of them if we had time to go through there, but I won't do that. He said, say, speak, acknowledge me, preach, proclaim as you go, the kingdom has come. Don't be scared to speak. Amen. He said, what I have told you in the dark, proclaim it in the light. What I whisper in your ear, shout it from the rooftops. We have a gospel to speak. And then he said in verse 22, they're all going to hate you, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from persecution? Saved from becoming a martyr? No. Saved eternally. He says when persecution comes, or listen, when the Christian life gets hard, true saving faith endures. This is a good doctrine for us to get a hold of this morning. There is a false faith that doesn't save. You remember Jesus' parable, the sower? Right? The sower is free. He's sowing the seed. That's the gospel. He's sowing the seed. And there's different kinds of soils out there. Some sprang up quickly but died, right? When the sun came, when the thorns came, they didn't last. Guys, that is the one who is not truly saved. Some people come to church. They hear the gospel. They get happy at first and they make a profession of faith. Maybe they get baptized. But a year comes. 2 years come. Hard times come and you can't find them. And they never follow Jesus again. They looked good for a while, but time will tell if you're true or not. Amen? Genuine faith will be shown. Like Judas Iscariot, who followed Jesus for a while, it didn't last. Saving faith endures to the end. You may backslide, but God will bring you back if you're His child. Hebrews 12 says He will discipline the son that He loves. Amen? You can't start the race and not finish it if you're a true child of God. Maybe you prayed a prayer with a preacher and you fell away and lived like the devil the rest of your life. You didn't have a saving faith that endured to the end, guys. Jesus said, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Where will you be a year from now? Will we be able to find you? Where will you be 5 years from now? Where will you be if persecution comes to our nation? When it's hard to become a Christian and to proclaim that you're a Christian at your job, or else you'll get fired, or you'll be sued, or whatever. When that comes, will you still follow Jesus? If you got a true faith, God will give you the grace to keep stepping. Amen? And we got to pray for each other that God will hold us fast. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Saving faith endures to the end. Enduring to the end is a sign or a fruit of genuine faith. He says, flee when necessary. In other words, when persecution comes, there's a time to run out of town and go to the next town because there's work to do. In other words, we don't go hunting persecution. Some Christians want to turn everything into a persecution, right? You go and looking to be a martyr. That's not what Jesus is saying. When persecution comes in one town, go to the next, because there's lots of towns that need the gospel. Amen? We won't finish the Great Commission and be sitting around twiddling our thumbs waiting for Jesus to come back. We will be working right up till the time He comes, is what He says. Amen? All right? He says a few more things. Hang in there. We'll be done soon. He says, don't fear man. A couple of times He said this. As scary as persecution sounds, He's helping us direct our fear to the right place. Don't fear man, because He says, what is hidden will be revealed. In other words, those who hate the church and persecute the church, one day the church will be vindicated, and those who hate the church will face judgment. What's dark will come into the light. Justice is coming, so don't be afraid. Another reason Jesus gives to not fear is they can only kill our body. They cannot touch our soul. Amen? Those who rant against you on social media, those on the workplace or your neighbor across the street who yell at you and cuss you for being a Christian, they cannot take away God's work in your heart, your relationship with Christ. They can't destroy your soul. The worst they can do to us is kill us. That is happening in many countries in the world with ISIS and other groups that are expanding. People who identify with Jesus are losing their lives, but they're not losing their soul. Amen? Don't fear man, who can only kill your body. Don't even fear the devil. Don't go around jumping at every thought of a demon or the devil. Who does Jesus tell us to fear? And Scripture bears this out from cover to cover. We are to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says. Now, it's not a fear of God that makes us run away from Him in terror, but it is a fear that makes us run to Him for the safety in His arms that He's provided in Christ. We fear Him. Why? Why do we fear God? Because He is mighty. Because He is the Creator God. He is the one, Jesus said, who can kill both body and soul and hell. He's not talking about annihilation. He's talking about punishment and hell. Yes, He's a God to be feared, isn't He? And a God to be loved. Don't fear when persecution comes. Jesus then talks about resting in God's sovereignty. God is in control, even of persecution. How does that work? I don't know. But somehow God allows hard times to come to us, and He's going to use it for our good. Even if they kill us, God is going to use that as a testimony to those we leave behind. God is in control, Jesus said, even of the most seemingly insignificant details of life. A sparrow falling to the ground. God is not caught by surprise of one bird that dies. God, He is in control. We can trust Him when persecution comes. Even the very hairs of our head are numbered. I think I have a safe bet here. Did anyone think this morning when you woke up of how many hairs that were on your head today? Seriously, did anybody give that any careful consideration this morning? Well, I wonder how the count changed from yesterday. I'm going to count them up. We don't even think about that. And God knows. The things we don't even, they're not even worth our consideration. God knows. And so we can trust Him with big things. Not only is He sovereign, He loves us. Rejoice in God's love. What did Jesus say? Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. He didn't tell us how many sparrows. Right? Left that open, right? You are of more value than 20 sparrows. No, it's an unfathomable, infinite difference, because a sparrow is not made in the image of God. We are created as humans in the image of God, and we are, in Christ, bought with the blood of Jesus. We are worth more to God than the animals of this world. We have value in the sight of God. God loves us. So when He allows persecution, it's for a good reason. And the last thing He tells us here is to hope in the ministry of Christ. Jesus said, He said it first as a warning. Whoever denies me before men. Listen, this is where we close up here. Jesus said, whoever denies me among men, I will deny them before the Father. These are some powerful words. This is a powerful warning, church. Jesus says, and that doesn't talk about just, you know, I stumbled today, I didn't witness to that person I should have witnessed to. This is a public disowning of Jesus. This is when you consistently and publicly make it known that you have nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus said, I will consistently and publicly disown you at the judgment. There are eternal consequences for rejecting Jesus. But, He said, anyone who acknowledges me before men, that is a public profession of faith. That is coming before God's people and saying, God has moved in my heart. I believe on Him. I want to be baptized. I want to become part of the church. I want to serve this Savior who died for me. And then going out and living and making it known that you are a Christian. Jesus said on the day of judgment, you'll have nothing to fear. I will publicly receive you, welcome you. I'll count you as mine before the Father. No matter what accusation Satan will throw us, no, this one's mine. He'll stick up for us. What an encouragement that Jesus ministers to us in heaven, ministers on our behalf. Church, Paul wrote this in Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So we've seen today in Jesus' words, some unpopular words, we've seen to expect persecution, and we've been shown to be faithful through it by God's help, how to endure persecution, not mounting up in arms to go fight, retaliate with an evil tone in our voice. No, we are to go love them and preach the gospel to them, and come what may, we will stand for Christ. Amen. Love them, preach the gospel to them, and no matter what is the response, it's for the Lord. We live unto the Lord. We die unto the Lord. Amen. Christ left heaven and He stood up for you at the cross. He didn't get scared and turn away and say, I better not go to the cross, it might hurt. He went all the way for us. Amen. He stood in our place. Even to the extent of facing the wrath of His Father that was supposed to come upon us, He received it as our substitute. He didn't back down. He didn't give up. And now He calls us, come follow me. Come follow me. I want you to know it might get bad out there. This is not your best life now. This is not a fairy tale world. It's going to be hard and you're going to get knocked around. And when you are faithful to speak and tell this world that sin is sin, and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all deserve His wrath and His hell. But yet God in His love prepared a way for us to be saved by sending His own Son to step into this manhood, this humanity, and take our sins upon Himself and die in our place on the cross and rise again. And that He commands all men everywhere to repent and believe on Christ. When we preach that gospel to people, they may hate us, but the results are up to God. That's what He calls us to do, church. We are a sent out people, and we will be a persecuted people. Have you received Christ this morning? Have you given yourself to the one who gave Himself at the cross for sinners? Have you repented of your sin, or have you tried to be a Christian and still love this world? You can't serve two masters. Turn from your sin and embrace Christ. Turn from your worldliness and build in your own kingdom, living under your own rule and doing what you think is right. Turn from that and bow the knee to the King who gave His life for His people. Come to Jesus. Come to the One who endured persecution for us. Through persecution, we are saved. Through His death, we have life. Come to Him. Flee from the wrath of God into the safety of Christ. But know that in this world, count the cost. It's going to be persecution. But none of that compares to the glory that's coming for the people of God. Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us."